Welcome in, amazing kingly brothers from around the globe. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. And I'm super pumped and excited to be talking on this topic today. We're going to jump straight in. We're talking about the four major psychological roadblocks preventing us husbands from enjoying great sex. The tragedy of modern life in deep intimacy for men, for us husbands that have committed to go all in with one woman, is that the vast majority of husbands are experiencing progressively, as they deepen into their marital journey, droughts of sexual intimacy in their marriages. So often it's our women are the first to become disinterested in sex. And one of the greatest tragedies is what I hear, and I heard it in my own mind, so I really want to lead. You know, there are very many times here when I talk about, you know, husbands almost like they're separate to me, but it's like I'm in the arena. I have been in this arena for 14 and a half years, nearly 15 years. I have been there and I'm still in that pool. I'm still dealing with my own trauma. I'm still dealing. How is it that I can teach about this stuff? I mean, it's the old thing. It's like if you want to master a topic, well, then teach it. This is part of my journey, my healing journey. And this is where, you know, as I overcome these things, as I come up against them, I'm able to articulate them better. But what I'm seeing, not just in my own life, but in so many men out there, is the great tragedy is there's this underlying sneaky, fucking sneaky assassin, which is this assumption that, you know, the drop off in sexual intimacy is just a part of marriage. There's this underlying belief and assumption in the vast majority of men where, you know, I'm 10 years in or I'm 20 years in. It can be I'm 2 or 3 years in, but it's part of marriage. You know, like things get busy, kids come in the scene, I'm traveling with work, the passage of life. My wife is going through menopause. You know, you get to a certain age in life. All of these things that we say in the privacy of our own inner world, or, you know, we speak it out when we're chatting with other men. All of these beliefs come to the surface, which are rooted on this assumption where, you know, just your sex life drying up is just a part of the marriage journey. It's just a part of getting old. It's just a part. I just want to root that out at the very beginning here. Let's just root it out. I want to challenge your nervous system, your mind listening in here, to root that as an avoidant escape route for your mind not to find new creative ways to show up where you can create a magnificent sex life with your woman. That not only you're not looking to keep it all, I just want to reconnect with the way our sex life was in the beginning. No, I'm actually challenging you to start thinking of it in a way where your sex life in the beginning was nowhere near where it can be. You know, your level of maturity, your level of wisdom, your level of knowledge at the beginning and that of your woman. I mean, as you mature, as you grow older and wiser, you know, your wisdom, your capacity to show up, your level of presence as a man. The whole point of Be the Husband She Brags About and our work here is as you grow wiser and have more wisdom in your body, you know, it's to raise your expectation that on the topic of your sex life, you can expect it to get better, to get deeper, to be able with increasing mastery on the topic of relating with your woman in deep intimacy, that there's deeper levels of bliss, deeper levels of joy, deeper levels of open-hearted connection that become more and more available to you. So it's like turning, it's just turning the whole mindset of modern life that we have inherited, that it gets worse with time. That's just just you have to accept that. You know, sex is for the bygone era when you're in university or early days of marriage or courting your woman. And you know, it's like No, it's the opposite. So I want to really put that forward at the beginning here. And it's super exciting because no matter where you're at now, and just slowing down to speed up here, this episode here, there's sometimes when I ask myself this personally as a man, you know, if I was listening to this episode, you know, recorded by somebody else, you know, and I listened to it like 5-6 years ago, maybe even less, definitely at the beginning, in the beginning years of my marriage, I would have been very triggered because there were so many roadblocks that I had. I had so many beliefs that it just was not available to me. And my sex life was so sort of, well, base level, it was pretty shit. You know, it was not very good at all by frequency, by depth, by... So, you know, I possibly would have been so triggered by the beginning of what I'm recording here that I might have even backed off and switched off. So what I want to encourage you guys listening in is, you know, no matter what way your sex life with your beautiful queen is going now, just stay in the game, stay in this conversation, lean in, because no matter, you know, how bad you might perceive that it is, it's like, oh, she's not interested, she has disengaged. And, you know, a lot of times we can put the blame on our woman, you know, she's disengaging, or there can be a lot of shame. We recently went through the story part of the Be the Husband She Brags About Marriage Mastery System, you know, the story. We can shame ourselves and put ourselves down. It's like, I'm no good at sex. I'm, you know, I've, my cock doesn't work, or I have issues and, you know, I ejaculate too soon, my cock doesn't come up, blah, 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 blah. But you can have a lot of shame going on, and we're going to unpack that in this episode. But no matter where you're at, my greatest intention in this episode and in all episodes is to build a rugged, unbreakable foundation under your feet where you can know, you know, leaning in, every part of your relationship, including your sacred sexual intimate relationship with your woman, can improve, can be a little bit better and a little bit better. And like going forward, it's limitless where it can go, no matter where you find yourself at today. The metaphor that I'd encourage you to look at is, you know, your nervous system is your mind, if you want to say. You know, like your nervous system is the processing center of your human experience. And on the topic of sexual intimacy, it's your nervous system, how it navigates and interacts with your woman and with your woman in the bedroom and the topic when you're sexually relating. That's what we're working with here always. So if you have a nervous system, if you're listening in, you know, it's like, just let's just get down to the base level here, that, you know, it's sort of like the Knights of the Round Table. I saw King Arthur there recently, the film. It's like the Knights of the Round Table. Why did he have a round table? Because everybody was even. Every single one of you listening in, you're a knight at the round table. Why? Why can I state this? Like, irrespective of whatever trauma you have, and I know you can look at, we all have our traumatic imprints, and there's no better or worse. In men's work, like, you don't go, sometimes guys can go, oh, but you don't realize, like, how bad I had. It's like, I nod and I bow. I have full empathy for whatever traumatic experiences you have coming into life, coming into your sexual intimate relationship. Could be directly on the topic of sexual intimate relating. I bow to that. I have full empathy. I have 0% sympathy. And I say that because if you have a nervous system, well, it's like the old Buddhist teaching. You know, the greatest characteristic of the mind is that it can be transformed. Now, if you want to wound worship, and, you know, if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep your limitations. My challenge to you is, no matter what you're coming into, what your perspective is on deep intimate relating with your woman, come into it with a beginner's mind. Come into it with an open mind. The metaphor I would put forward is, like, if you have an open mind, if you have a nervous system, which you do, see your nervous system as like a Porsche or a Ferrari, a top-end car. It's like you've got the machinery. You have got the vehicle of the human experience to go wherever you want in deep, intimate sexual relating. You've got that. You've like your nervous system, your brain, you know, the cranial brain, there's the heart brain and the gut brain. Modern neuroscience has been tapping into what all the mystics have known. You have that. You have got the hardware to have whatever beautiful, deepening, infinite, no glass ceiling over your head for that sexual experience that you can have in your body and you can share and create, co-create with your beautiful woman. You have that. By definition, coming in here, you have that. So you're at the round table. Now, psychological roadblocks are like having the, you're at the steering wheel of a Porsche or a Ferrari or whatever your favorite car is, but the handbrake is pulled up. And it's like you're revving it up and sexual frustration and all of these, the perceptual quagmire of muckiness, like when you get stuck in quicksand and these beliefs that, oh, my sex life is crap, blah, 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 blah. But the handbrake up is like they're the psychological roadblocks. They're the blind spots. And we can get super, super frustrated that we're not having the experience we want. But if you don't know that the handbrake is pulled up, you're, of course, you're going to be super frustrated with, fuck, you know, it's like I'm meant to be going at like 180 miles an hour, you know, on the Autobahn in Germany, limitless speed bombing down around the corners. I'm meant to be having this exhilarating ride of a lifetime, which, I mean, that's fair. That's the conscious mind. I like my sex life should be, you know, way better. I'd love, I have deep desires to have it way better. But the handbrake is pulled up. And if you don't know that the handbrake is pulled up on the car, and if you don't know that the handbrake is pulled up psychologically, deep subconscious layers, you know, it's you're never going to be able to have an open door to moving forward if you don't know the handbrake is pulled up. So awareness is the first and foremost foundation and step into expanding your capacity in relating with life. So with that, let's jump into the roadblocks. There's four of them. They're the four major ones. I mean, could there, are there other ones that might be super particular? Yes, of course. But these are the four major ones that show up in the majority of men. I would say like almost 99% of men in modern life coming through what we call modern society, Western society, like the homogenous blob that society and social conditioning can be put in. Roadblock number one, almost exclusive, I'd say 100% of men. Roadblock one, preventing husbands enjoying great sex, is the shame of feeling emotions. We've spoken about this before, but on this topic, you know, working with guys around the planet, independent of, you know, religious upbringing, independent of cultural upbringing, you know, all the different continents at this point, I have spoken with guys and on the topic of deep intimacy and the feelings of emotions, almost every single guy, well, I actually every single guy has some specific memories of being shamed when feeling their depth of emotional sensitivity as a boy, and especially on the topic of crying. You know, like touch base with your own experience growing up. Like try and remember the first moment you were shamed for expressing an emotion or for crying. Again, the invitation always, this is why this podcast is as transformative as it is, because it's like it's conversational. The invitation is there's no passive listening in this experience. Just, you know, in the privacy of your own mind, what memories are coming up when you were shamed? And it could be by your dad, by older brothers, by uncles, by football coach. There can be shaming from women in your life. Could be your mother, could be, you know, it's not necessarily always men shaming men. However, men shaming men is like, you know, we're in the father-son lineage is so sacred. They're the ones, or it could be a stepdad, whoever that was, that masculine figure for you that you related to, that you were looking for that safety, you were looking for protection, and you were looking for teachings. You were looking for the, whoever that masculine, those masculine figures, one or more. Like, when did they shame you? What were the communications from these sacred men? And when you identify that moment or moments that are coming up, how does it feel in your body? Like, where does it show up? Sometimes the heart can be racing, there can be a pang of anxiety in the tummy. It can be like 100 or 1,000 different ways that can show up. But where does it feel? Where does that show up in your body? Why this is so potent and important in deep sexual relating and like for the capacity to enjoy a great sex life. When we learn, we have all have learned protective emotional closure at the point when deep emotional risings come up as boys. We learn that and we've brought it into our marriages. What ends up happening is like when we have a pang of, grief or sadness or anxiety or a need for, when we as boys reached out for support, we reached out to be held, we reach out for, can somebody help me? Crying as a boy in the yard at sport, and we're just told, get the fuck up, like stop being a pussy, stop being a little wimp. It was sort of shamed, like it was our feminine need, emotional need in that moment. It's like stop being a girl, stop being like a little baby. There's these shamings which can seem very mundane now as a 30-year-old, a 40, 50-year-old, but like when you were 5, when you were 6 and you were hearing this, like that was deep social shame. All the other boys in the yard like looking on at you, it's like them all having a go at you. There's a deep level of shame. So we learned protective emotional closure, like to harden up, just like ignore that feeling, ignore the reaching out for support, ignore these feelings and don't go to the tears. So we become emotionally hard. And yet, in sexual relating, one of the foundational bodily skills is to open up your heart, to soften into your body, into the deep, intense emotional risings that come up. The joy, the bliss. If a pang of rejection comes up, can you soften into it, or do you just shudder into more closure? In the vast majority of relationships, for the male pole in the relationship, that masculine pole, the roadblock of shame, feeling, emotions blocks, like to an horrific, tragic level, the amount of sexual pleasure that is available, causing such an amount of frustration and a feeling of rejection in our women, because when we go into closure, the feminine pole will interpret, misinterpret, whatever, they will perceive that so often as being a rejection of them. We go into closure. It's like the link. It's the 5-year-old in you that goes into closure, but it's like the 35-year-old that you, 45-year-old you that's showing up in marriage. And it creates so many issues in marriage. And very often, it's the main reason why women just disconnect. They're the first ones statistically to become disinterested in sexual relating. So, roadblock number one, shame, feeling, emotions, touching base with yourself. How does that show up for you and your capacity to embody the full range of emotions that come up in your human experience and the deep impact that can be having in your sex life? Roadblock number two, shame, feeling your sexual dark side. This is distinct. Shame feeling emotions, it might be close. Shame feeling your sexual dark side is like shame feeling the sexual energy that comes up. Like it's sexual desire that comes up in you. Recently in the episode with Dr. Robert Glover, who wrote the book No More Mr. Nice Guy, the Mr. Nice Guy persona, it's almost omnipresent. 80, maybe 90% of guys out there have this predominant persona at the front of their life. one of the key characteristics of this persona is a deep shame in expressing your stark sexual desires. Without going into the full depth of this, you know, in this episode, you know, the characteristic thing that we, so many of us men, have come through in our upbringing is we were predominantly nurtured by our mothers. And then from our mothers, our first few years in the education experience, you know, and why this is so important is, you know, 0 to 8 years, little argument about the time frame, but like, let's say more or less in the what they call the formative years in psychotherapy, 0 to 8 years, by the time you get to being 8 years old, it's like your nervous system has it all set down what your primary beliefs are going to be for life. Obviously for life, unless you come upon the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast or some deep transformative coaching work, men's work, etc., etc., etc. But your blueprint of beliefs, which are the paintbrushes where you will paint onto the canvas of life what your life's experience is going to be. And on the topic of, you know, sexual relating, they're set into the system in 0 to 8 years, predominantly. 99.9% of them are. So if what has happened to so many of us is we have this Mr. Nice Guy persona where, you know, predominantly, you know, our dads were working away a lot of the time, and for many different things, even if our dads were around, our dads, because of so much social conditioning since the time of the Industrial Revolution, etc., men were ripped from the houses. Even if our dads were around, so often our stepdads didn't feel that they had a sacred position to play at home as a dad, as a husband. You know, their belief system was like their identity was, their greatest purpose was providing, was being at work. That's where they were most useful as a social being. So we had this imbalanced learning about life relating to the feminine. And so many of us, like the vast majority, we ended up subconsciously seeking validation from the feminine. So it's like good boy, bad boy. Good boy if you do this, bad boy if you express anger, bad boy, you know, sexual desire, bad boy cursing, bad boy being aggressive. Bad boy was being true to our masculine core. And if you have that set into your nervous system in those early years, so many, like the vast majority of guys that I end up coaching, and this has like totally destroyed my capacity to relate with my queen for the vast majority of her marriage life so far. I'm still working with that, as Robert Glover says, like in recovery, you know, Mr. Nice Guy persona. It's like you're in recovery for life. Was this idea, it's like always being afraid to be a bad boy. And what happens with that persona is when you've undealt with issues with your mother, with your divine feminine growing up as a boy, you bring that into your marriage and you end up subconsciously projecting that undealt with shit and wounds onto your wife. It's like your wife becomes your mother. It's like you're looking through this, it's an invisible lens, it's an invisible glass window in between you and your wife. And it's like, you know, it's like the colored glass. If it's all colored blue, well, everything that your woman shows up with, the far side, she's tinted with blue. But that blue has nothing to do with her. But that's the power of subconscious conditioning from childhood with the feminine, with your mother. All of those imprints, they become the blueprint for how you see and relate with your feminine as you're a man. And in marriage, that's going to be your woman. And all of those projections, it's like, it's there. This is the psychological roadblocks. Until they're invisible, until you know that the handbrake is pulled up, you think it's your woman that's rejecting. You think and fully believe she's not interested in sex. You think it's her that does not want to open up to any sexual expression beyond just like normal, the most standard basic sort of positions and sexual relating. Yet you don't know that it's you, it's your nervous system that's projecting all of that stuff on her. And her experience is, wow, I can't open up. Anytime I try something new with him, he goes into closure. You're not picking up your projections. You're only seeing her face and then attaching this inconclusive sort of interpretation, which puts it all on her. The questions for this is, you know, have you noticed, when you look back at your childhood, you know, what ways did your mother talk about men's sexual attraction to women? Did any of her commentary speak poorly of men in general, but speak poorly of men in, you know, their capacity to remain conscious and present around other, if you want to say, beautiful women? I know myself, when I have done shadow work on this, so many memories came up of, you know, our family sitting down watching a movie, and then if a nude scene came on, and heaven forbid if a sex scene came on where, you know, both people got hot and steamy and it was super provocative and they got naked and ended up having sex. I mean, that was an absolute shutdown mode emotionally in the room. It would just go frosty cold. And it's like my nervous system would see, like my dad, my brothers, we would be looking. But it's like if our mother was there, there was this awkwardness. And then a comment would come from her, or it would be switched off, or there's just this edginess came in. So my nervous system, that's a memory that comes up for me so much, is like any social shows of, you know, sexiness in women, you know, there was a shaming put there. I remember times where my mother, like there was an interview on national television, it's like one of the major shows there was on, chat shows, and there was a porn star that was being interviewed. And my mother's like, oh, the amount of shaming on that, the amount of it, like it was really disgusting. So, just touching base with yourself, what memories come up for you with how your mother was speaking about men? How do women in your life were speaking about men and sexual desire? Another key point, and this is where, you know, just encouraging you to get radically honest within yourself. And this can be quite uncomfortable if this is your, you know, some of your initial experiences coming into, you know, this is deep shadow. There are deep shadow questions being asked to bring you into the depths of your, you know, the shadows, that part of your mind. Just a reminder here, your shadow is not the bad parts of your mind. Your shadow are the parts that when you were younger, you tucked away, these parts of your expression, which are natural, beautiful parts of your human expression as a man, but you took them away because you were made believe that they were wrong. That's the shadow. It's not wrong, it's just you were made believe and you suppressed them into your subconscious mind. Have you noticed at times your fantasies about fucking other women are darker and more intense and wild than what you bring to the bedroom with your wife? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that maybe you're deeply attracted to watching porn and it's the more wild and aggressive and intense, you know, depictions of sexual relating that are ones that really turn you on the more, you know? And so many men experience shame to have these private experiences of watching porn or these movies where the depiction, it's that wild man, you know, where that's the bit that really gets you going. And you think that that is wrong, and then you don't bring it to the bedroom. There's nothing wrong with those desires in you. It's just a social conditioning. You know, we think we're wrong as men to have that. That's roadblock number two. Shame feeling your sexual dark side and desires. Roadblock three. This is a big one. It's a major one. It is where it's like it's a social issue. It's not your issue. You know, this is almost like if you have shamed yourself on this topic, like there's some failure of you as a man, as a husband, as a lover to bring your best. Like, just look at the society, the social script that we have inherited from society. You know, my question to you, and it's almost like it's a rhetorical question. I know what the answer is going to be. I mean, the save, I haven't experienced this, but I've read some people have been reared by, you know, some trailblazing dad that had tons of sexual experience and was a tantra teacher, but like for the vast majority, you know, how many hours of your educational experience was dedicated to the topic of how to give a woman pleasure and help her climax? Think back to your primary school days, high school days, university days. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, zero is like not even how many hours, how many minutes of your education experience? How many times did your primary school teacher or your secondary school teacher go, okay, and like, okay, some guys would say, oh, but there was sex education. But what was that about? I mean, sex education growing up, if it was done, was like, it had nothing to do with, you know, educating your developing nervous system, your developing mind as a young boy coming into, you know, you're navigating puberty and these new desires that were coming very hot and steamy within you as a young boy developing into a young man, and how to navigate what those desires meant, what those feelings and the deep level of attraction that you felt as a teenage boy into a young man, what that meant and how to channel that beautiful, primal, natural sexual energy, and then channel that, but education as to how do you channel that consciously and how do you actually relate with a woman, you know, in deep, intimate relating where you can bring her to climax, where like you can pleasure her, you can soften into meeting and attuning yourself to her bodily, sexual, feminine needs in the bedroom. And zero, you know, 0 minutes, you know. Then the other question is like, well, that's the education system, but how deep did your father go in teaching you how to keep a long-term intimate relationship hot and steamy? You know, long-term, 10 years in, 20 years in, 30, 40 years in, how many times has your dad or stepdad sat down with you and beyond an awkward, like 5-10 minute, you know, birds and bees type conversation? Maybe some of you had a bit more of an open relationship, and like, kudos to you, I'm happy for you. But like, I mean, deep wisdom being handed down from father to son, you know, the masculine lineage of wisdom that you inherited. What was that like for you? There again, the vast majority, yeah, it's almost laughable, and it's not laughable in the sense of to laugh, and I'm not taking a, you know, I'm not dishonoring the men that have come before us, but like, that's the social issue. There again, there's so much social shame, religious shame on, you know, sexual relating that our dads and their dads before them, the amount of sexual shame and the amount of sexual repression of desires that were there. And like, so often it actually came up as, you know, we have inherited major traumatic issues of previous generations of men, that sexual shadow came out aggressively with alcohol, came out, you know, there's been a lot of wounding within women that has been handed down of, you know, sexual abuse, of very deeply unsafe, unconscious sexual relating when men were drunk, you know, etc., that came out in previous generations, that showed up, that was not safe for women of previous generations. Our women of today, our wives, have inherited all of that. You know, it's like, that's the level of complexity that there is at the base of this. So just keeping like on roadblock number three, lack of sex education. And yet, we had to learn from somewhere. And in modern life, like the last 20 years for sure, a lot of that has come from what? Porn. You know, like if it's not being discussed at the table at home, if it's not being discussed in school in a safe, profound, wise way, if it's not being like, if your dad didn't take you for like, you know, repeated safe, deep conversations to educate you on this. I mean, the deep desires, we knew that there was a deep human need within us as men to find out something. Well, porn was about the only thing that was left on the table for so many of us. Yet, I mean, I don't know if you've ever questioned this, but think about it. I mean, what are you going to learn that's going to be useful from porn? And there's no shaming of having looked at porn, but it's like, if your education on positions of, you know, how to approach a woman comes from there. I mean, there's paid actresses that are paid to act aroused and to act out and fake orgasms. I mean, they're paid to make it look like those positions, those approaches of men are like, yeah, wow, you know, well, the female body reacts like this. And, you know, it just sets up such a deeply divisive and destructive set of, and they can be subconscious expectations that, you know, like, why does my woman not respond like that? Why does my woman, like, not enjoy sex like that? Why does my... But, like, it taught us nothing of the nuanced ways, the art of sexual intimacy, where there's this beautiful, you know, practice of masculine and feminine sexual attraction and intimate dynamics, where it's a dance. It's this beautiful moment-to-moment dance where you attune to her body. You're in your body. And in that embodied conscious way of relating, well, naturally she's feeling safe, you're feeling safe, and the nuanced tantric ways and skills then of light touch, of, you know, and like, I mean, there can be a full library of, if you want to say, sexual techniques and ways of approaching each other's body and creating a sacred, beautiful space where that can unfold. All of that, that's the depth of sex education that is available. It's all out there, but it hasn't been put on your table growing up. It definitely wasn't put on my table growing up. And as a result, we end up feeling bad about ourselves. But if you haven't, like, put it like this, guys. You know, and the vast majority of you guys, and, like, as I say, kudos to you if you've had a dad or a stepdad was like, that was a tantric practitioner. Maybe you don't need to be listening to this episode. But, like, if you answer, no, I had zero proper sexual education coming up, but then, you know, if then you're having, you know, a sexual experience with your wife that is not to the standard that you want, it makes no sense at all to beat yourself up. It makes no sense at all to project, you know, your lack of satisfaction and fulfillment in your sexual life, to project that and blame your wife on her wounds, which you can be acutely aware play a definite part. It makes no sense. You know, I don't know, like, to make a mundane example, is, you know, think of a topic that you have no training on. I mean, would you beat yourself up if, you know, somebody had a heart attack in front of you, you don't know how to resuscitate them, or you don't know how to, you know, do open heart surgery on them to bring them back to life? Mundane, spontaneous, silly example, but it's like, would you beat yourself up? No. It'd be grade A fucking stupid and insane to beat yourself up, because why? You haven't been trained as a heart surgeon. You haven't been trained in cardiac medicine, in deep internal medicine, to know how to bring that person back to life. So it's like, you don't have the training. That goes for, like, why would you beat yourself up if you didn't know how to play a guitar? Playing a guitar, playing music, etc., etc. I mean, if you've no education in it, it makes no sense to beat yourself up. And I just really want to encourage you to look at it like that. Deep, intimate relating and being able to relate with your woman and create a beautiful marriage, first and foremost, you've got to allow yourself to start loving and accepting what you have brought into the relationship. And if your education was, like, radically incomplete on the topic of deep intimate relating, you know, it's so important to be kind on yourself. You know, there's this lone wolf mentality that we have brought into marriage and brought into our whole lives as men from a profoundly sick society that has, like, hacked out the education off us in sex and in all topics, how to be a man, of which, you know, how to show up and sexually create a beautiful, deep, intimate relationship with a woman is, like, such a sacred core part of her embodiment of what it means to be a powerful man. I mean, if you had no sex education and now you find yourself going at a, you know, lone wolfing it and having repeated experience that is not nice and your woman isn't satisfied, and then, of course, as a result of the lack of education, your woman becomes disinterested, blah 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 blah. It's just to establish a loving acceptance of, well, you weren't educated in it, and to allow yourself come off your own case a little bit and plant seeds of hope. Because if you can, and you're listening in, if you can just start informing your nervous system that that's okay, and then from an open mind and a safe space within yourself, you can go, well, it's okay. You know, it's like I'm having this repeated experience to this point, but you're beginning to learn how all of these roadblocks within your nervous system, they're the handbrakes, and you just little bit by little bit learn to put the handbrake down. Then you start having more repeated experiences where, oh, this is actually nice. Oh, my woman is more receptive, etc., etc. So, roadblock one, shame feeling emotions. Roadblock two, shame feeling your sexual dark side. Roadblock three, lack of sex education. Roadblock four, and it's almost like roadblock four is like a summation of the other three, but it's worth speaking in a distinct different category by itself as a separate roadblock. It's lack of confidence. You know, old sexual and emotional shame plus this lack of sex education, well, that it's like it's almost inevitable that it will show up as a lack of confidence in the bedroom, a lack of confidence of like going at sexual relating with your woman. If you don't know what it is, what if there's, and there isn't actually a recipe, but there's a like a recipe of us, there's a recipe and a skill set available to you as a high-end tantric practitioner, a conscious practitioner of polarity, it can be called, when you know the depths of wisdom that's available, of, you know, masculine dynamics and feminine dynamics and how you create deep sexual polarity that engenders, evokes this long-term natural emerging sexual attraction between yourself and your wife. If you didn't have very little or no awareness of that, plus the sexual shame that just like major roadblocks, that if you feel an urge of sexual desire but it's dark and you've been shamed, you go into closure, you shame yourself, then you blame your woman, and you unwittingly project a lot of judgments on your woman because you don't know how to deal with that, or all these shame feeling emotions, all of that ends up, it creates, there's a deep lack of all pervasive, like a lack of confidence in men knowing how to enter the bedroom and, you know, just create a beautiful experience. What ends up happening, and see if this touches base with you, if it's true for you, you know, when there's a lot of negative self-talk when approaching sex, as men, we end up getting stuck in our head. And when you get stuck in your head, and this has been omnipresent for me, it's this deep end practice for me to remain out of my head and be in my body to this day. I'm getting much, much better, but this was like omnipresent for me. When you get stuck in your head, and by stuck in your head, that can show up like you're, you know, looking at the signs of her subconsciously, like, oh, is she in the form for it? You know, when you're trying to initiate making sex or during making love, if you're, you know, reading the signs, is she in the form of it? Is she rejecting? How's she feeling? There again, it's the old conditioning from growing up. Becoming way too attentive to signs that your woman is not loving you is, you know, this, you're seeking validation. So you're looking for, you know, is she receiving me as a good boy? Oh, no. And you get super sensitive to any signs that could be a rejection of what you're doing with her. When you get stuck in your head, you actually start being inattentive to your partner. Inattentive to what she's letting you know in the moment. Oh, she's enjoying that. You know, when you're stuck in your head, you're not there. You're not breathing down into your body, which is relaxing your body. And when you're breathing down deep in your body, it's communicating to her that she can relax in your presence. No, stuck in your head, when we're stuck in our head, and this is on any level of performance in life, you know, when the big difference between a world-class performer in a sport or any endeavor is that they can get out of their own head. the top end world class performer might have the same skill set, the same trainings as the mediocre performer, but they're just what characterizes their capacity to rise to the top on a predictive, consistent level. They can get out of their head, and they can, by doing so, they have this relaxed capacity to breathe and be present and be relaxed in the moment when their highest performance is needed. That is definitely true in deep sexual relating. So getting stuck in your head tenses the body up, and it communicates to your woman that she's not actually safe, and thus it tightens her up, and you end up in this downward spiral of disconnection. So many times, the lack of confidence, as I say, comes from these tapes running in our heads. I've coached multiple different guys, and so many times there's these tapes of negative, body shame. There's a body shame about you might have put weight on since you got married, and you feel you're not feeling very attractive, and you're playing these tapes of she's not attracted to me anymore, and you're not really attracted to yourself, and you're not feeling very confident in yourself as a man with your body. You've let yourself go over time and been bombarded by, modern bombardments of advertising. It's working on men more and more and more, whereas like all of these top-end sports athletes that have been airbrushed, they've had like the professional cosmetics team on them, they have the light for whatever cosmetics companies, shaving companies, etc., etc. We're being bombarded by imprints in our nervous system that our body is not enough, we're not enough. That's really important. That has been classic for women for multiple decades at this point, but it's a really the modern industries have realized that if we can trigger men to feel deeply inadequate and experience body shame, they're going to buy more products. They're going to buy more shit. I mean, it's an economic thing. It's not a new phenomenon, but that is alive and working as well. So, lack of confidence, another key potent thing as showing up in negative beliefs about your incapacity to be a great lover, your incapacity to have a beautiful body that is worthy of love. And I touch base with yourself. Do you have some tapes running in your head where you feel a lack of worthiness to be loved, a lack of worthiness to enjoy pleasure, or a deep inadequacy as a lover? It's like you're just shit at it. You're just not good at it. Or I know for myself, I had so many beliefs that because my cock didn't perform, what is classically known as erectile dysfunction, yet there's an important thing there. If that's true for you, that label is deeply unhelpful because it's like there's deeper levels to this, but your cock is functioning perfect, your nervous system is functioning perfect. Erectile dysfunction actually so often shows that there are psychological roadblocks. There are undealt with stuff. All of these roadblocks lead to erectile dysfunction. It's your nervous system giving you a sign. It's like, hey, there's a roadblock here. It's not that there's some inherent incapacity to have a fully, a full erection, but it's like there are roadblocks that aren't allowing you go forward. You have the nervous system, which is the Ferrari or the Porsche capacity, but your full experience is not being allowed because of these blind spots underneath. It's another sign. It's not that your system is not functioning. It's functioning perfect. It's the way it lets you know. You've got to do some deep inner work on this. So in all of this, I mean the roadblocks, as I say, bring love and awareness to this topic. If this is your first time doing some deep introspective work or like approaching this topic, it can get a little bit overwhelming. But in all of these episodes, guys, there is no shame involved in this work. You're not responsible for the societal teachings, the generations of trauma that you have inherited from your family and the society coming before you. You're not responsible for how that shows up in your nervous system now and your capacity to show up as a lover now, as a deep intimate partner in long-term, intimate relating in marriage now. You're not responsible for that, for what you've inherited, but what you are response able, hyphenate the word, what you are able to respond to is with a different level of awareness. You're able to respond by listening in here. You're able to respond and allow yourself the safety to go, ah, well, if I resonate with, you know, one or more of these psychological roadblocks, some of you will have one that is like really hitting home. Many of you will have a lot of them that are hitting home. If you have, you know, roadblock one, shame, feeling, emotions, nearly every single guy has that. Roadblock two, shame, feeling, your sexual dark side. As I said, the vast majority of guys in my experience and in other, you know, teachers that have been doing this work for decades, it's showing up for the majority of men. Roadblock three, lack of sex education. Roadblock four, a lack of confidence as a lover in deep, long-term intimacy. I mean, you have a response that's available to you now to be kind to yourself, a response that's available where you can build a platform for yourself and go, hey, well, if I have these roadblocks alive in my psychological system, I'm going to be kind to myself, but I'm going to be true with where I'm at. It's like they're live. So these roadblocks are preventing me and my nervous system and thus my body to have a beautiful, deep sexual relationship with my woman. Well, that is a form of work that's available to me. That's my responsibility. Blaming your woman. I mean, the perspective here is always is kingship. Kingship is take extreme ownership for what's live within you. Your woman can have her own perspective on all of these topics, but I'm encouraging you and challenge you directly to just put 100% of your attention on your 100%. From there, she will soften. From you taking 100% of this and softening in and allowing yourself progressively to be kind in your own nervous system and in your own body, that will make it safe for her, and she will bit by bit unfold. So you have that power as a man. I want you to know this has worked for me. It works for my clients. You have that power. You are that powerful to have the capacity when you do your deep inner work with your nervous system. You, by default, start becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. This is why these episodes are so potent. So in all of this, it's my expectation that the revelations and the new awarenesses that are coming true for you, some might be brand new for you, some might be a reminder for some of you of stuff that you've already known, but there's a deepening experience of that. It is my absolute expectation that these awarenesses will have a deep subconscious healing effect, will allow your nervous system to be more human and loving and accepting of yourself. And when you do that and start relating with yourself in a more loving and accepting way for your blind spot and for your trauma and your wounds that you bring to deep intimacy, you naturally by default end up being more accepting and loving of what your woman is bringing in. That's where the magic happens. I mean, wounded attracts wounded. There, I don't know any couple that do not have these type wounds to deal with and to navigate. But when you start being more loving and accepting of what you have brought to the table, in the bedroom, in your marriage, you can extend that softness and loving to your woman. And that makes you such a beautiful, potent, intimate partner. When you can bring safety to it, she will feel your love. She will feel your conscious presence. You taking ownership of your own healing journey, wow, fucking wow, is how you're going to be received. In all of this, my extension of absolute love and honoring for you for listening in. If you've been coming back to the podcast again and again, I mean, it's having an effect. Trust, it's having an effect. Just keep coming back and softening in. Re-listen to the ones that, you know, you really resonate with, re-listen to them again and again. It's inevitable. Your nervous system will be unknotting all of these undealt with beliefs. It's that potent, and it will start showing up rapidly for some of you, little bit by little bit for others of you, but it will start showing up. Your sex life will get better. Your confidence will rise. Your capacity to be more erect, to be more in tune with your woman and her body and nervous system will be way more receptive. It is inevitable. Remember, coming in. It doesn't matter where you're in. You have the nervous system that is akin to the Ferrari or Porsche experience. You just need to learn to, bit by bit, put the handbrake down. And awareness is putting the handbrake down. In all of this, you beautiful, potent men, I want to remind you that the 6-month marriage transformation program is coming live in the new year. It's going to be part of a core part of the work available to you amazing men coming in. It's the full implementation of the Be the Husband She Brags About Marriage Mastery System. There's going to be coaching directly from me, how high accountability from other marriage transforming heroic men around the world in a unique, intimate setting. It's based on 3 simple steps, and it is that simple. Hack out what is not working in your marriage. And on this topic, we're going to be going doing deep work in sexual relating. Hack out what is not working in your sexual relating. Number 2, implement what's proven to work. There again, if you haven't had the sex education or the marriage education, this is the arena for deep sex education and education how to create a beautiful, amazing marriage. Implement what's proven to work. There are proven strategies that are available. And number 3, live out your have it all happily ever after marriage. This is going to be an amazing opportunity for you guys that are ready to welcome that level of transformation into your life, who are ready to be the husband that she will inevitably brag about very, very soon by doing this work. If that is tickling your fancy, if you fancy entering that arena and you are really desiring radical marriage transformation, are ready to pay the price for that by showing up powerfully, implement now. Sign up to the email list at kingsoffreedom.me. Find a link in the podcast episode description underneath the where you're tuning in. In that, you can get the 15 simple habits to be the husband she brags about. There's another potent free tool there. And yeah, honoring your capacity to show up, loving your presence, appreciating all of you amazing men showing up here, and remembering a reminder, like, you have it in your power. I absolutely believe in you. The transformation is already happening. It's going to be happening in the bedroom and in all aspects of your life. Our motto, our mantra of this movement is better husband today, better world tomorrow. You are that powerful. Go have an amazing, beautiful, kingly day.